Amen. Well, to say it's good to be here kind of sounds like an understatement, don't it? Amen. Well, take your Bible, turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Amen. I've enjoyed myself here. I love church. Amen. I got saved. I got churchy. Amen. I almost hollered at David. I said, sing that song. I'm one of them. Amen. Then he sang it. Amen. That was good, wasn't it? Then that song about that little gal. Lord. Amen. Ye that are without sin, cast the first stone. Amen. I don't know how he sounded, but amen. I know it probably sounded like it thundered when he talked. Amen. But look here in 1 Peter chapter 5, and we'll just start reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder. Well, I finally made it to that. Amen. I remember when me and Brother Edward were the young men around the meetings. Long time ago. Thank you. Thank you for that witness, Brother Darnell. The man who's older than dirt. I appreciate that. It says, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you. Amen. I'm glad for the flock of God. Amen. It's a weird flock, but thank God I'm part of it. Amen. Amen. So what makes it weird? You. Me. Amen. I'm amazed that God would save me, but I'm more amazed He'd save you. Amen. Said, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Yep. And notice how it says, taking the oversight. Amen. He said, well, our pastor, he thinks he runs everything. Well, he does. He's got the oversight. Amen. I like what one preacher said. He said, I'm not the dictator here. I'm just here to make sure you ain't. Amen. Then I heard one preacher preaching. And he's talking about people having, you know, causing problems in the church. He said, if you ain't the plumber, leave the drip alone. Amen. There's the plumber. Amen. He's taking the oversight. Amen. You can't handle the drip. Amen. Oh, that's good, ain't it? It says, not for a filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. I've always said, if you're in it for the money, you're not going to be an independent Baptist. Amen. Money talks, I'm not deny. I heard it once and said goodbye. Brother, I've just lost his name. But the old preacher, isn't that horrible? That happens when you get old. Amen. But no. Amen. I can't think of his name. But he used to say, if it costs $100 to get around the world, I ain't got enough money to get out of sight. Amen. Homer Smith. That's who it was. Amen. Then the Bible says in verse number 3, it says, neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. Amen. Thank God for God's men. Amen. And they are. They're in samples. And if you've ever been one that tried to be a lord over everybody, it'll leave a bad taste in your mouth. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. You say, why is it in there? Because you young folks ain't got no sense. Amen. You're dumber than a barrel of hair. Amen. You need the elders. Amen. I mean, where in the world would we be? What would we be like if it hadn't been for them old timers? Amen. All of us in here that are over 50 years old, we can remember. We didn't get whippings. We got whoopings. Amen. Let's just take a 10-minute break and whip every kid in here. Y'all want to? Amen. Says, ye younger, submit yourselves to elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. I don't know about you, that strikes some fear in me. Amen. I don't want God Almighty to resist me. Amen. I don't want him to not have anything to do with me. That's scary. Amen. And pride, I'm telling you, he can't stand it. He hates it. Amen. That's why it says in verse number 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Do you see that? Anybody in here can do that. Amen. You can humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. If you want God's hand on your life, there's the recipe. Amen. You say, well, if I be a great this and that, no. You just get real low. Amen. And he's liable to put his hand on you. Amen. Nothing better could be said about you. Then, well, I'll tell you what, he ain't got a whole lot of sense, but God's got his hand on him. Amen. He ain't real bright, but God's got his hand on him. Amen. Then it says here in verse number 7, and Brother Edwards said this before I started, and I've always struggled with what to preach, make sure I'm on the right page, but I think I am tonight. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Man, what a statement. Amen. And I don't believe it's any, amen, just a coincidence that this great passage is where it's at. Because right after that it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you. God, as we open this book, we're totally dependent upon thee. God, we have no ability of our own. God, we ask you to speak to hearts here tonight. Bless this church, ministries that are represented, churches that are represented. God, every family, every heart. God, have your way and help us. If anybody here lost, show them their need. God, any of us that's gotten cold-hearted and kind of drifted away from you, help us here tonight. Send old-time revival. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. But I want to preach a little while tonight on casting all your care upon him. And like I said, this is in the right place. Amen. Here's the whole message. You can't bear those cares on your own. You want to open yourself up to the devil? That's how you do it. Amen. You can't bear them yourself. Me and Brother Edward, we were back here in the office a little while ago, and his sugar's a little high. You know, he's a little sweet. Amen. I'll let you take that however you want it. Amen. But he said the doctor told him a lot of that can be caused by stress. Do you know all the things that can happen to you because of stress? Amen. 90% of stomach problems is brought on by stress. Amen. Like 80% of heart problems brought on by stress. And I'm going to tell you, probably 100% of devil problems is brought on by stress. You say, what do you mean? You won't cast your care upon him. You'll try to bear it yourself. And you can't do it. Amen. You'll open yourself up to the devil. Amen. I deal with kids all the time. I've been for, I don't know, 30-something years. I've been preaching youth camps every summer. I preach anywhere from 5 to 8 youth camps every summer. And I deal with teenagers and kids, and I deal with a lot of kids that cut themselves. I don't understand that. Amen. You say, what do you mean? You know, they get in their room or wherever, and they take razor blades and stuff and cut themselves. Amen. How many of you sitting here right now, how many of you have know somebody that's done that or does that? See there? It's everywhere I go. I had a lady come to me one time, and she was 40 years old. And she showed me her sleeve. She goes, and she's crying. She goes, look here, Brother Mark. Look what I do. And there must have been 40 cuts right there on her wrist, just enough where it didn't hit the arteries. And she's crying. She goes, look what I do to myself. What do? I said, quit that. Amen. I was in a meeting one time, and a gal came forward during the invitation, and she put an X-Acto blade on the altar. Well, I know what that means. She's been cutting herself with that thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I looked that girl up. You ought to see my collection box that I've got, where people give me stuff through revival meetings and everything. Hey, man, I got enough piercings that I can go from one wall to the other and just sprinkle them all the way down there. I got eyebrow rings, nose rings, tongue rings.
Wow.
Hey, man, belly button rings. I didn't know people put stuff in their belly button. I try to get stuff out of my belly button every once in a while. Hey, man, I got such a severe innie, I have to wait till I have a full stomach to even clean mine. But I didn't know I had that. Man, they got tongue rings. Who in the world puts something in their tongue? But we get in revival meetings and kids get under conviction and they give them to me. I got handfuls of them. And that girl put that X-Acto blade on there and I went and talked to her. And boy, she was hard. She was a hard character. And I told her, I said, young lady, I said, I'll make a promise to you. I said, here's the promise. If you'll let me, I'll love you. And she looked at me, and she told me later, she goes, I was mad at you for saying that. I said, why? She says, because you cared. That's what she said. You know what you end up doing? If you're sitting here, and you're one of those that cut yourself and all that, you're trying to bear those cares yourself. Amen. And it don't fare well with you. You can't do it. I've seen men. Now, I'm a man's man. There is not a gay bone. There's not a gay cell in my body. Huh? I don't have a feminine side. I do not. If I did, you wouldn't want to meet her. She'd be like Helga the Viking woman or something. I do not have a feminine side. Amen. And I know this, us men sitting in here, if we can't cast our care upon him, you know what you'll end up doing? Bearing it yourself. Amen. You ever read over there in the book of Matthew? I think it's Matthew 13. You ever read over there where he's talking about the seed? How some of it fell on good ground and some fell on stony ground? And one passage over there, it says, and some of it fell on ground, said, and the cares of this world choked it. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, the cares of this old world will choke it out. And if you want to open yourself up for the devil to move in, that's it. Amen. People get aggravated and mad and carry things and mad at family. I'm telling you, it ain't if you're going to have problems, it's when you're going to have problems. Amen. You got kids, you got problems. You got a wife, you got problems. I lost some of you men right there. You got a husband, you got problems. I knew I'd get a spark out of them then. Amen. I heard Cupcake up there. Amen. But you're going to have problems. Now, the thing is, folks, if you're able to cast your care upon him, because he cares for you. Amen. I don't know how it went in your life. But I know this, in my life, when I was a kid, I don't know what age, but when I was a kid, I got to the place where I didn't even talk to my mom and dad hardly. I thought they were my enemies. Anybody here know anything about that? And my dad, we bumped heads, my mama, I got mixed up in the drug culture and all that. I know what that stuff looks like. Hey, man, I've been there, I've done that. Amen. And I wronged myself greatly by separating myself out of the fellowship for the love of my own mom and daddy. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, I've done that with God. And it hurts. It'll mess you up. Amen. When I was a kid, you know, just little, like a lot of you all, you know, everybody I knew smoked. All the kids did. All the guys smoked. All my brothers, everybody smoked. And I remember, the first time trying that stuff. And if I'd have went to my dad and my mama, they'd have helped me with that. Amen. I remember the first time I was ever in a place where somebody was using drugs. If I'd have went to my daddy, said, "Dad, I'm sorry, but I wound up over there and they brought marijuana out and started smoking it. My dad would have helped me." Amen. But you know what I did? I lacked the boldness to go to him. And I took whatever help he could have gave me, I took it right out of his hand. Well, I'm telling you, us sitting here tonight, if you won't go to God, you're taking every ability right out of his hand to help you. Amen. Casting off your care upon him. He cares. He cares. Amen, amen. Let me say number one here tonight. Are y'all with me? Number one, if you're to cast all your care upon God, you've got to trust him.
Amen.
Amen. How can you trust a God you don't ever talk to? Amen. As a young man, I'll be honest with you, I'm not proud of it. I'm ashamed of it. But I did not let my mom and dad love me the way they wanted to. That's how I got in trouble. That's how I swayed out and was a mess. That's how I wound up in jail. That's how I wound up with a bad attitude. That's how I wound up with a chip on my shoulder. Amen. And but if you ain't careful, you'll walk in here with a chip on your shoulder. You say, "Why? Hey, we're talking about a God you don't know anything about. Never went to him. You don't know the love of God that we're all yelling, screaming about." Amen. He loves you. What are you going to do with that? Maybe I'm spit all over myself. Sorry about that. Bible says to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Man alive, don't you want that? Amen. Filled with the fullness of God? Well, how are you going to get there if you won't talk to him? You got to trust him. You got to trust him. Do you know how many dysfunctional families and people that we have preached to through the years? Some of them been right here. Amen. And they'll carry stuff in here on them, man, and will not come to an altar, will not take their care and, amen, cast them on him. They won't do it. They don't trust him. Amen. I told you before when I got saved, I got right with my mom and dad. I did, man. I had to. There was a breach between us. Amen. And me and my dad, we when he died, we were right with one another.
Amen.
How about you? Me and my mama, she's 93 years old, and our slate's clean. Amen. I'm her baby boy. 60-year-old baby. Amen. I'm the youngest. I'm still her baby. Amen. I'll call her. She goes, "You ain't called me in a month." I said, "Mom, I talked to you last week." "Oh. Well, you stay in contact with me. I want to know where you're at, what you're doing." Amen. And listen, if you're sitting here, you're a young man or a young lady, and you grow cold against your own parents, you know what you'll do? You'll grow cold against the church. You'll grow cold against the preacher. You know why? Because you've grown cold against God. Amen. Got to trust him. Got to trust him. Take your Bible and do me a favor. I don't have people read, you know, go and turn a bunch of places. But you need to see this. Genesis chapter 41. I'm thinking about some of y'all here specifically that I believe this is going to help. You say, "You wouldn't single anybody out, would you?" Double dog dare me. Amen. I've gotten in trouble for that. But look in Genesis chapter 41. And I want to show you here in verse number 50. Now, did Joseph go through some hard times? I mean, is that an understatement or what? He sold out by his own family. Then he got put in a dungeon and falsely accused. And amen. And then he got done wrong. But look what it says, Genesis 41, verse 50. Now, look at this. And unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of the famine came. From, I don't know how you say all them words, Hur, the daughter of Potipherah, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. For God, said he, now look at this, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. You see that? God made me forget all of my toil. Now you think of all of what he went through. And then how much that his brothers and his family turned on him, and God helped him with that. Now let me ask you, will God help you? I know how Christians are. I've been around this for a good while now. I know how people get. I know how bitter folks get. You say, well, you don't know what they did. I understand. Amen. Believe it or not, I have people talk bad about me. I can usually forget, because usually they won't do it to my face. Huh? But I'm going to tell you, my wife has trouble with that. She'll see them. She'll want to dot their eyes. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, if you cast your care upon him, because he cares for you, he'll take it. And you can go on. You can be loose from that thing hanging on you.
Amen.
Amen. I remember when, now folks, here's the catalyst. Do God's will. Amen. His will is for you to cast your care upon him. Then live for God. We started evangelism, me and my wife, 32 years ago, about the first year of evangelism. We were living in Pensacola, Florida, and I had a meeting right downtown Pensacola. It's like a 3-day meeting. And we drove down there. I thought I knew where the church was, and all. And right before we left, Brother Edward, the phone rang, and Dee answered it and just crumbled there at the phone. I mean, we were dressed, had our Bibles in our hands. And she started crying, and boy, it's one of them calls you don't want to get. And I'm sitting there going, what's going on? What's going on? And what happened was her little mama had a stroke, a major stroke. And she was in Ohio. And man, Dee was crying and finally hung up. And we cried and prayed. And I looked at her and I said, what do you want to do? And she looked at me and she goes, let's do what God called us to do. I said, all right, honey. Amen.
Yep.
And we got in the car and drove. Boy, it was quiet. I could hear her. she wanted to be with her mama. And we go down there. We can't find that church. And anybody of y'all ever been to Pensacola around there, Joe Patty Seafood is right down there on the water. And I drove around in there, and there's a parking lot there. And I turned around because I couldn't find that little church. And I stopped. And I put it in drive. And I shut the car off. She goes, what are you doing? I said, look at the name of that fishing boat right there. And we were sitting there, the light shining on it, and that boat said, God's will.
Yeah.
Amen. And you know what? You know what God showed us that night? Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you, and just do what I called you to do. Amen. Do you want to have a life where you can... I'm not saying you ain't going to have cares. You're going to have them. Probably more than the average doofus. Amen. But Jack Wood says you can't do right and get away with it. Amen. You're going to have some cares. But you better learn how to cast them on him. Amen. Got to trust him. Got to trust him. I'll tell you what else. You got to be able to take him at his word. His word says he cares for us.
Amen.
I'm glad he does. He cares. He loves me. I'm one of them. I'm in. Amen. I'm a child of God. I'm part of the blood-bought band. Amen. I know him. He's wonderful. He's the best there is. Amen. Got to be able to take him for his word. Brother Cody Zorn, we get to preach together every now and then, and he is a character. He's one of God's characters. And Brother Cody, he tells this story. I've stole it as my own. But I'll give him credit for it. Amen. Because Cody, he flies. You know, he's got his pilot license, and he flies. He said, I'll take you for a ride sometime. I said, no, you won't. He's one of them guys that turns the plane upside down and all that. I said, you do it on me, I'm going to whoop the tar out of you. He said, you're right. I don't want to take you for a ride. They said this guy talked the preacher into taking him on a, you know, ride, one of the small planes to ride around. And they got up there, and he's enjoying that preacher's nervous, you know. He goes, is this supposed to be this bumpy, you know, and all that? Oh, preacher, we're all right. Then they start to make their ascent. And all of a sudden, you hear this from that pilot. He looks over at that preacher, and he goes, you better pray. Well, that's one of the last things you want to hear if you're sitting in the co-pilot's chair and you ain't a co-pilot. Huh? He goes, what do you mean? He goes, I can't get the landing gear down. He said, we can't get that landing gear down. He said, I ain't got enough fuel. Ain't nobody going to bring us any up here. He said, we're going to crash. He goes, what do you mean we're going to crash? He goes, well, what do you do? Where's the, do you have a manual for this thing? He goes, well, I think I do back there. So he said, you think you do? What do you mean, dummy? He looked back there and it's trash and McDonald's stuff all over the place. He unbuckles and he's going through because he's like, really? He goes, well, I think it's back there. And he finally finds it. He gets back up there in the seat. He's going through it. And he's looking like, ah. He's going, landing gear, landing gear, landing gear. And he finds the place in there where it says landing gear. And it says, if the landing gear does not come down, amen, he's in the right place. He said, there's a lever underneath the dash, underneath this little button here. He reaches down there and he finds it. He said, turn it counterclockwise. He's like, clockwise, like counter. And he turns that thing, he says, pump it now 10 times. He's like, he's like 25 times. He said, now push it in, push it back clockwise till it clicks. Then the red button, that's the third one from the right, pull it out. Amen. And he's like, okay. And all the time, like, and he pulls that thing in the landing gear, goes, amen. And the guy says, well, there it comes. And he looks at him, he goes, amen. He said, what are you talking about? He found the manual.
Amen.
Amen. We got the manual. Ain't you glad that it says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you? Ain't you glad that He says He'll cover you with His wings? Amen. Under His wings? Ain't you glad that He's a God that cares? Yes, He cares. I know He cares. Hey, He's touched with my grief. You got to take Him at His word. One of the hardest places I've ever preached in my life is in a Christian school chapel service. The hardest place. I preached on death row, prisons, on the street. I preached in bars before. Amen. I preached in Kentucky Fried Chicken one day at our town. I've never preached anywhere harder, though, than a school chapel service. They're like hardened criminals. Amen. You can stand on your head and clap your feet, and they're like this. Wow. Amen. There's something in here. I mean, I'm not going to make eye contact. But I remember in Folkestone, we were there, and they had a little chapel service. We was there in the church, and they was all sitting on this side over there. And it was tight as a drum. I mean, you could ice skate up and down the aisle. The Bible says many are called and few are chosen. These were many were cold and a few were frozen. Amen. And I'm at my wit's end. I mean, I'm at my wit's end tonight. Amen. I mean, some of you young folks, I don't know what it's going to take to get through to you. I have no idea. Amen. If this ain't enough, what is? Amen. If a preacher preaching to you that cares, that's telling you about a God that cares, and I told them kids, I said, here's the problem, and I'll tell you all, God loves you. You got to do something with that. Amen. He loves you. Love you enough that He sent His Son to die for you. When I said that, there was a little boy, and I don't know how. I don't think you all were there yet. There's a little fellow jumped up. He was from India. And he jumped up and he went, "I'm not saved. I need to be saved."
Amen.
He started walking down the aisle. And Brother Mike met him and they went back in the back. And I said, "Amen, that's the way to do it."
Yeah.
And there was a gal stood up in the back. She's about 17, a little blonde haired gal. She goes, "Well, I'm Catholic. I'm not saved." I said, "Well, come on." And, but we had a time. And that little fella got saved in the back. Brother Mike and him was running down the aisles and stuff in the back of the church back there. Amen. You say, why? Because God loves us. It ought to be enough. We ought to clear us off a spot right now and shout about it for a little while. He cares. He cares. Say, how do you know? I read it in the book. He cares. What a God. You mean to tell me as hard-headed as I am and as cold as I am and as a man as I am, I can go to God with my cares and He'll take them? Sure He will. He cares. Man, what's it going to be like if you try to bear them yourself? Amen. Here's a song we sing. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. I don't know about y'all. I felt the wind blow from heaven a little bit a minute ago when they was singing. Amen. I told Brother Darnell, I said, that had a little juice on it. Amen. And I, in church with people all the time, I preach to people all the time that can sit through that and God moving and sit through some of the greatest services and sermons and people is concerned about you. You can sit right through that and it'll go off you like water off a duck's back. You know what that shows me? You're bearing those cares yourself. Amen. And buddy, it'll take you to an early grave. It'll put you in places you never dreamed you'd ever go. You young ladies, you get out of God's will and you don't take your cares and cast them on Him and go away from God. Do you know where that leads you to? A horrible life. Amen. You got to take Him at His word. Amen. You know what else? You got to be able to tell Him. You've got to be able to talk to Him.
Amen.
Sure. Amen. Some folks, they won't even talk to the preacher,
right,
let alone to God.
Right.
I know couples that are married that won't talk to each other. Amen. My dad used to kill me. My dad and mom, they've been married, you know, and my dad, his bark was as bad as his bite. Amen. His bite was as bad as his bark. And I remember he'd tell my mom, "Woman, just shut up." And after a while, she'd say, "No, I don't have to. I ain't afraid of you no more." And I just cringe. If some of you did that, you would be in divorce court tomorrow. I tell my wife, she gets aggravated at me. She'll be talking and I'll say, honey, let them talk a little bit now. Oh, shut up. I know that's funny, but if you're sitting here and you can't talk to one another, you got problems. Amen. If your kids can't talk to you, you're going to have problems. They're going to have problems. Amen. You parents that are here, do you love your youngins? Amen. They get out of sorts. They get out of sorts. They won't talk to you about it. And I'm going to tell you, there ain't much that'll hurt you like that. Amen. And you know where that leads to, Brother John? Is you won't go to God. Amen. You got to be able to tell Him. I've been in meetings. I went to a meeting in Leavenworth, Kansas. And when I got there, the pastor, he picked me up at the airport, and he said, "Brother," He said, I almost canceled the meeting. I said, well, how come? He said, I've got a family in my church. And he said, their boy, their 17-year-old boy, I think he was 17, said he committed suicide just right before the meeting started. He said, I did not know whether or not. And he said, I went to the family and said, what do you all want to do? And that mama, crying, said, preacher, we need revival more now than we ever have. And I came in that church, start revival on Sunday morning, and that lady met me at the door. And she said, I don't want you to get any surprises. She said, I know the preacher talked to you. Said, she started crying. She goes, I'm that boy's mama. And she said, preacher, I can't even explain the grief. She said, I feel like I've died inside. And she was, I want you to know. She said, I want you to know that I went to God and he heard me. Amen. Man, I tell you, you know what that did to me? That helped me. And I watched them that week. And you know, I preached to kids and stuff. She's back there shaking her head. Preach to them, preacher. Amen. I know a boy 14 years old. I was on the road. And this, my wife called me. And she said, are you sitting down? But I know with lackhead, I said, oh, no, what? And she told me, there's a kid in our church, 14 years old. I held him when he was a newborn. I prayed for that boy. He loved me. I've had his tears on my shoulder before at camp. I remember when he got saved, and she said, told me that boy's name. She said he got his daddy's pistol and had it. He accidentally shot himself. I said, oh, no. Then she called me back a little while later, and she goes, honey, she said, that's just what they were saying at first. Said he took his life. I'm like, what? 14 years old. And one of the hardest trips I ever took is drive over to that brother's house to see him. I came into town. I went right there. And he was outside working. He's working his mailbox, had his hammer out there, and he seen me pull up. And he started crying. We went up to the house, and I said, brother, I am so sorry. He told me, he said, Brother Mark, he said, you was his favorite preacher. That did not make me feel good at all. And I said, brother, what in the world happened? And he told me, and this was before I knew anything about it. I'm not just up here to rail on your kids or you. I knew nothing about it. He said, he got involved in a thing called anime. I said, what is that? He said, it's these Japanese cartoon things, Brother Mark. I said, you're kidding me. And he showed me his suicide note. He said, I want you to take this, and I want you to take it around the country. I have. I probably read it here years ago. And I had that, and he starts out, I can almost quote it. He says, Mom and Dad, as much as I love you, I hate our way of life. I said, what was that? Church. Hated it. Didn't want anything to do with it. Hated it. This boy went to everything. Homeschooled, vacation Bible school, youth camp. Amen. And that stuff got in there. Listen, it was so bad. Man, it's quiet in. It was so bad that he wanted this name that he had made. See, what they do in that stuff is they make that stuff on there their avatar. They become the person on there. He wanted the name that he had made up for one of these figures on that anime. He wanted that on his gravestone. He wanted them to put that on there as his name. And not his real name. And this stuff that he wanted, that he had bought and stuff, he says, I want this on my grave. He had a backpack, had that stuff on. He says, I want that on my tombstone. I told that brother, I said, do you know how powerful that stuff is? If he wanted his name to be changed and all that. And once I'm starting to learn about this stuff, you know what it does? It turns you against your mom and daddy. It turns you against church, and it turns you against God. And then you know what happens? You can't help them. Amen. The wife came in. I was talking to her, and she said, Brother Mark, she goes, here's how it went. I said, sis, you ain't got to tell me. She goes, I need to tell you. She goes, I tried to wake him up. I said, all right, son, it's time to go to school. Come on, get up. Homeschooled, you know, oh, Mama, I want to sleep a little bit. No, get up. He wouldn't get up. She went back a little while later. I said, get up. I'm going to whoop you if you don't get up. And she walked off. Then she heard. She said, what in the world? Did he knock something over in there? And she went over and tried to open the door. She couldn't open the door. You know why? Because his lifeless body was right there. And she said, Brother Mark, if we would have only knew. Got his phone. That stuff was all over his phone. I've talked to people now. I've had them stand up in the pulpit and get rid of that stuff trembling. Brother Farley, we was at Brother Farley's camp, and these kids started telling how they had it. And one girl, she was trembling, and Brother Farley said, let's stop. He said, let's pray. He said, we're dealing with something here that's beyond anything we know. Amen. And all that stuff, folks, I'm telling you, it'll take you away from simply coming to God and saying, Lord, will you help me? Amen. You've got to be able to cast your care upon Him. You've got to be able to talk to Him. If not, you'll try to bear that yourself. Amen. I come up in the drug culture. I can... Off the top of my head, I can think of five of my buddies that killed themselves. Five of them. Two or three of them died of overdoses. One of them got shot by the police. Three or four of them's in prison right now. All my buddies say, what was that? We was rascal. We were the lost boys. And we didn't have no God, had nothing. And those kids, you know what, all them boys, you know, every one of my buddies that had in common that killed themselves, them and their daddy hated each other. Amen. And I knew them daddies. They wasn't that bad. But they just, boom. But then the drugs and the music and the devil. Amen. I'm telling you here tonight, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Amen. Here's one for you. Are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus alone. Do the tears flow down your cheeks unbidden? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Have you sins that too many eyes are hidden? Tell it to Jesus alone. Yes. I don't say a whole lot about it, because really it ain't much none of your business. But my boy got out so bad that I can't even describe it to you. And I heard my wife, my little wife, I heard her cry herself to sleep for a month. I thought I was going to lose her. And if she didn't get to Jesus and cast that care on Him, neither one of us would have made it. Amen. He said, Brother Mark, you're cold. No, you don't understand. He helped us. I told everybody I quit. I said, I can't be an evangelist. And all my friends said, you can't quit, Brother Mark. You can't quit. Brother Edward told me, he says, you can't quit, Brother Mark. You got to keep on. And somebody said, Brother Rick Drummond, he goes, where do you go next? I said, I go to Shady Acres, Houston, camp meeting. He said, go. I said, Rick, I don't think I can. He said, you go anyhow. Amen. We went Monday night, walked in that big church, 300 and something people there, 150 preachers there. Brother Farley walks over and he goes, Brother Mark, I think I'm going to start out with you tonight. I looked at him, I says, I don't think I can do it. I said, I don't think I can. And he looked at me and said, Brother Mark, he said, trust me here. He said, you get up there. He said, the Lord will help you. And he called me up there, and I didn't have that preacher's itch. You know, I got the message. I got up there, and I looked at everybody, and I said, folks, I don't know if I can do this. And Brother Farley walked up and put his arm around me. He said, this is our friend. He said, let's come pray for Brother Mark. Amen. Listen. My Savior is the best there is. My friends are the best they are. The churches I go to, the people I run with, my friend, they're the best there is. Amen. But if I get to a place where I can't talk to God and then talk to you, my wife, you kids, if you can't talk to your mom and daddy, what a mess. Amen. But let me say this, last of all, treat him the way he deserves. You say, what do you mean? Jesus.
Yeah.
Treat him the way he deserves.
Yeah.
Amen. Does he deserve better?
Yeah.
Amen.
Wow. Yeah.
My oldest brother, Ashlyn, said today, she goes, I feel like I know all your family. I've heard you tell all about them. Amen. My brother says that when he comes and hears me preach. He goes, well, go ahead. You're going to use me as an example anyways. I said, yeah, I tell them all what not to do. I use you. But my brothers, all them, they all watch me. Amen. They all know when I go through something. Amen. And my oldest brother, he told me one day, he says, he called me Brutus. He goes, Brutus, he goes, you're the only one that's in church living for God. He says, you're the only one. He told my other brother's alcoholic. I got one brother that's a hermit. Another brother that he was in Vietnam, and we lost him in Vietnam. He came back, but he never came back. We call him the ghost. And he looked at me, my oldest brother. We call our dad the bull. And he looked at me, and he goes, bull deserves better than that. I said, yeah, sure does. Let me tell you all something here tonight. I love my Savior.
Yes, yes, yes.
He deserves better than this.
Yes.
He deserves better.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
This newfangled junk we're going through and all, everybody's carrying their feelings on their shoulder. Amen.
Amen.
I don't know, folks. We talk about them old preachers, Brother Donnie and them. I don't know if you all could take it.
No.
I don't know if you all could take it. Brother Carl Lackey, Brother Don Green. I don't know if you could take it today. Amen. We got into a place, folks, we tried to deal with everything on our own. I remember when revivals used to be the place where people come, sprawled out, man, done business with God. My mom is 93, I told y'all. And you know what she still wants to hear, Miss Dot? She still wants to hear me say, I love you, Mama. Amen. Do you know what Jesus Christ would love to hear tonight? I love you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for rescuing me. Thank you for always being there. Treating the way he deserves. My dad, you say this, and you probably heard your dad say this too, and I think I heard you say it over in Folkestone, or here this week, can't remember, about when you lied. Amen, you got blown up with the TV and all that. My dad would say, boy, don't lie to me. He said, I can't stand a liar. Dad said, a man that will steal will lie, and a man that will lie will steal. If you don't believe it, just ask him. Ask him if he stole it. He'll lie to you. Amen. My dad says, I'll be fair with you, boy, if you'll just obey me. Don't lie to me. He said, I'll be the best friend you ever had. Amen. And you know what I've done? I'm ashamed to tell it, but in my Christian life, I've went times where my life, I didn't cast my care upon him. Amen. I didn't resist like I should. And all he wants is me to say, God, I'm sorry. Lord, will you forgive me? Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Folks, I can't tell you how many people I know right now that aren't in church anymore because they tried to bear that themselves. You can't bear them yourself. Amen. Take your burdens. Amen. Bring them to Calvary. Amen. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. 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 Amen. So here tonight, with heads bowed and eyes closed, say, what do you want, preacher? What do you want now? Casting all your care upon Him. You kids that are here, listen, if you can't tell your mom and your daddy that you love them and talk to them, how in the world are you going to convince me that you got any fellowship with God? Amen. Would you come, young lady, young man? Would you come get around an old-fashioned altar? Would you ask God to do something in your life? Amen. I mean, there are some folks that are carrying some heavy burdens in here. Any church, would you come, please? Would you come? Amen. Really.